Because Hans has a two-hour message for us, and he only has 30 minutes, so we've got to... How many have heard Hans speak before? Could I see your hand? Yeah, good. About half of us. Good. Thank you. I met Hans years ago. He has ministered at the Word of Life Church in St. Joe for years and years, and Pastor Brian and I are friends and have known that, so I've known of him for a very long time. One of the things that I appreciate about Hans is that he's very real, very authentic, and we both have the same allergy. Both of us have an itch that doesn't get scratched if we don't see the authentic power of God show up and bring the kingdom of God, and people get saved and healed and delivered. He has that ache that you don't come up with on your own. It comes from the Lord. And so I want you to accept and receive what he's going to say to us this morning. Hans is from Amsterdam and has come a long ways to see us. And so come up here, brother. I will pray for you, and then we'll just release you to... Lord, I thank you for friends in the kingdom of God. I thank you for the rich history that Hans has with you. I thank you for the history he's developed with us. Lord, we want to open a door for him today. It says, Lord, in 2 Corinthians, that a door was opened for me in the Lord. Yes. And so, Lord, I pray that you would swing wide a door and that the Spirit of God would use the Word of God to bless the people of God today in ways that could only be done by God. And we pray you'd use your servant Hans to do that for us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Well, it's good to be with you. It was a long journey. It's not the first time that I made that journey. But before I hit the pillow, it's always 24, 25 hours going. So I woke up, I was very tired, but I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, as awake as I could be, and which meant I was doing well, because it was 11 o'clock in the morning at home. So I've been up some time, and I feel refreshed and good, and we're going for it. Let me say, you know, there's something about a first service, if you have two. What kind of people are in the first service? Well, I guess they are the people who want to get over with it as soon as possible. So I'll make it easy for you. We're going to read Mark chapter 5, and I start to read at verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. You know what a minister has to do is, of course, to preach and teach the Word of God, but basically what it is all about is to help you and help us all, including himself, to touch God. That's what we're after. We want to have an encounter somehow with God. And I have the privilege and the burden on my shoulder also to present to you something that helps you and me. By the way, I've got two ears as well. I hear the same sermon like you do. And it can do in you what it can do in me. That's exactly the same, my friend. And I trust we will be getting into touch with God. Mark chapter 5, 25 says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years." I read, by the way, the New King James Version, the only version recognized by God. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So far, this portion of the Word of God. You know, there are always people who disqualify themselves to receive blessing from God. There are people who say, "Well, God doesn't bother about me, or I'm too insignificant, or I'm too sinful, or I'm too this, that, and the other," and they disqualify themselves. Some think they're so big sinners that God will not forgive them. Others say, "Well, I've done all my life without God. I'm sure he doesn't like me to come to him today." There are people who say, and I'm talking about Christians now, who say, "Well, I believe God wants to heal, but you know, I'm beyond it. My case is not hard enough, and my case is too hard." You can find both situations. It's too insignificant that God doesn't bother about that, or I'm too sick and I'm beyond repair. Do you know what we do with all that? We form obstacles for God to touch us. That is what is called unbelief. Now, Jesus says, "All things," did you hear the "all"? "All things are possible to those that believe." You say, "But what about my case?" About your case, the same applies. All things are possible to those that believe. Now, talking about hopeless cases is quite a subject. But if there was ever a hopeless case, this woman was a hopeless case. The woman we read about. I'll give you four reasons the Bible gives me why she was a hopeless case. First of all, the Bible says she suffered for 12 years. Now, most of us, I think everybody in this church, knows what it is by experience to be sick. It may last a short time, most of us. Things do. It's a day. The English say it like you're under the weather, and the weather in Britain is shocking, as you know. So it's bad. You know, you're under the weather. But most of the things come and go. They may last a few days, and your body recuperates, and you're over it. And you've been sick, all right, but it's for a short time. Now, if you're sick for a month, that's long. That's very long. You may miss a day or two at work, but if you're gone for a month, that's a long time. If you're diseased for 6 months, people start to wonder. They won't tell you, but they do. Now, if you're diseased for a year, they are sure about you. They don't tell you, but that's what they think. If you're diseased for 2 years, they still wonder why you're around. But they know one thing, you're not going to get better ever. Now, this woman wasn't diseased for a week or a year or 2 years or 5 years, not 10, 12 years. She was a hopeless case. The second reason, When you can't get better, when your body can't recuperate, you may visit a doctor. A doctor is a specially trained man. What he's done, he's studied, he's been to university, and he's studied the human body with all its function, all kinds of diseases, and all kinds of medications. That's basically what he's done. Now, he knows a lot. Now, if you go to a doctor, doctors are very wonderful, interesting, strange people. And when you go to a doctor, the doctor will, you see, he's a clever man. So he will ask you this question: have you had this before? Well, if you dare to say yes, he says, well, how did you get off it the first time? Clever, you know, clever people. Now, just imagine you say, I've never had this before. Oh, no, no, I don't know, don't know. Well, he says, all right, undress. So you undress halfway or totally, whatever his mood is. And so you stand there feeling lost anyhow, you know. You never intended that this was going to happen, but it happens. You're not in charge anymore now. And then he puts in a kind of a hearing aid, and with a long tube and a very cold thing at the end. And he puts it on your skin and says, breathe. You've been doing that all your life. You know? So you start breathing. He says, breathe. So you know, you don't know what it's for, but he seems to like it. So he goes all around and pushes this thing all over your body. I don't know what he hears. It must be very interesting. But anyway, you know, and then he goes into the next procedure and puts his hand on your body and starts to knock. And if you ever lost faith, that's where you lost it. You never knew you were as hollow as that, you know. And, you know, they do this knocking all over the world. They do this all over the world. They never get inside, but they keep knocking. And I tell you, they've done so much knocking that that is clever. By the sound, they can hear whether certain organs are okay or not. Clever. Now, then he may say, uh-huh. That's an expensive doctor because the others don't say anything, you know. So then he goes into the next phase. He starts to write. Now, don't turn pale. It's not the bill yet. That's later. So he writes, and it's called a prescription. You can't read it, but you have to take it to the pharmacist or the chemist. What do you say? Pharmacist. You go to the English and American. You go to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist is a miracle man. He can read it. You hope so, because your life is at stake, you know, anyway. So he prepares something, mixes something, shakes something, puts something in a box and writes on it three times a night just to keep you happy, you know, or something like that. And then when you come home, the pills are snow white, and you swallow the snow white three times a day, and the box gets empty. And you go back to the doctor, and the doctor says, and he said, just the same. He starts writing again. Now you go to the pharmacist, now the pills are not white, they're blue. So you swallow blue for about 2 weeks. And then you go back to the doctor, who writes again, and you go, now the pills are red. You know, as a Dutchman, Dutch people are very special. As a Dutchman, we would start thinking, I believe the doctor has some shares with the pharmacist, you know. And so you You know, some people say amen and yes here because they've been imported from overseas. And so maybe generations ago, but it's still there. But what happens is now you decide, you see, I go to another doctor, you go to a second opinion. It costs money just the same. And so you go. Now he writes, you swallow, and after 3 days you think, oh boy, I feel fine. Now it doesn't make the first doctor a hopeless case and the second a genius. It just means the second doctor hit the nail on the head and gave the right diagnosis and gave you the right pills, not to cure you, but to help your body to recuperate. But if you go from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, you become a hopeless case. That's what the Bible says. She visited many doctors. A third reason. The Bible says, now she's not only very sick, but the Bible says she's broke. She spent all that she had. All that she had. I tell you, my friend, some people still think, also in your country, that money is it. And money can do anything. And money, when you got the money, you got it all. My friend, it would mean that all the rich people are extremely happy and all the poor are extremely miserable. It's not true. It's not true. I've met a lot of rich people who are very miserable. I've met rich people who are not alive today because they took their own life. And I know some very poor people in parts of the world that are extremely happy. Not because they're poor, but poor or rich doesn't make any difference as far as that's concerned, my friend. It's nice to have some money around, don't misunderstand me. But remember, riches and poor doesn't make the difference about happiness. Now, whatever she had, she spent all. You know, rich people will spend all they have to be healthy again. If you're healthy this morning, do you know that you're a rich person? You may never think of it because your body just functions and everything fine. So what? What's the big thing? You're a rich person. And you better thank God for it. Now, 12 years, many doctors, broke. And the end, the fourth reason is the Bible says, in the end, she was worse than where she started from. Now, I couldn't find any more greater, clearer definition of about complete hopelessness. And this lady, losing blood, the Bible says, meant she was losing more blood every day, more life every day. She was going down the drain. And one day it would happen. One day she would have been too weak to get out of bed. And another day would have arrived later that somebody found her in bed in a pool of blood over and out. But something happened. She met somebody. Somebody talked to her. And you may think that I mean Jesus. No, no, not yet, not yet. Somebody, I don't know who it was. I think it was a lady. Somebody somewhere talked to this lady. The Bible simply states when she had heard of Jesus. Thank God for people that are talking to hopeless cases about Jesus. My friend, we need this city filled with people who talk to hopeless cases about Jesus. They may mock you, but there may be someone whose life is going to be turned around because you talk to them about Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus. Now, in what way did she hear about Jesus? I don't know, but I can tell you something about it. That conversation wasn't like, well, I think you should try Jesus. I can assure you that was not the case. Then her reply would have been, well, I've tried everything. I might as well try Jesus. But you know, she said something quite different. So I believe the woman who talked to this hopeless case beamed out some assurance about Jesus Christ, who's different. And you know, the woman who had no more possibilities and could have said, I'm a hopeless case, I'm out of it, said, wow, if I only can touch his clothes. She didn't say, I might be. I shall be whole. That's faith, my friend. Where did the miracle happen? That's where it happened. That's when the change came on the inside, when she suddenly knew, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Wow, that's a miracle, friend. I like that. God likes it. Faith rising in the midst of hopelessness. And you could see her faith. Her faith was not just a statement of faith. It was an act. She went to Jesus. So she came and knew Jesus was there, but there were a few obstacles. I'll get through that very quickly. The first obstacle were the people. I'll mention three. The first obstacle are people. Do you know, I've been in large crusades where I spoke to 15 or 20,000 people. And led hundreds of people to Christ. Wonderful to see. Mighty miracles. Wonderful to see. But every night I know, when I go to bed, there are people who've heard the message and did not respond. And they did not come. That's a very sobering thought. And why not? Because what will my father say? What will my mother say? What will my wife say? What will my husband say? What will my auntie say? What will my brother, my sister say? I tell you, my friend, if you want to come to Christ, overcome that obstacle, the people. Forget the people right now if you want to do business with God. Forget them right now. Whatever their opinion, forget it. Go to Christ. Whatever they think, whatever their opinion be, you go and reach out to him. There's another thing. The other obstacle there was, the second one is the law. Because according to the Levitical law, you can read that in the Old Testament, because she was losing blood, she was called, qualified, unclean. And it meant that she was restricted in her movement. She couldn't touch people. She surely couldn't go through a crowd. So the law forbade her to do that. So if she was going to meet Jesus in the midst of that crowd, she had to realize if she would ever make it, she would stand before him as a transgressor of the law, completely depending on his grace. My friend, I hope that's the way you want to come. Don't come to Christ and say, I'm sure you noticed me because I've noticed myself a lot, you know. I've done a lot of good in my days. You know, if anybody earned heaven, I overdo it, but that is an attitude many people have. If you think you can twist the arm of God by doing so good works that it stinks, forget it, friend, you won't get anywhere. Come to him with faith, depending on him and depending on his grace. And his grace is sufficient for you. There is another obstacle, the third one. When she had to move through a crowd, what do you think her body would tell her? I don't know whether you ever went through a crowd. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you that now. I have to leave. A second service is better. You may have a second chance. You never know. Anyway, all right. Well, let me tell you, you know, going through a crowd is extremely tiring. Now, look at this woman, frail as anything. Her body would say, you cannot. You cannot make it. So that was the obstacle. The obstacle of what would the people say. The obstacle of what the law said. And the obstacle of what her body said. It was three times no. But faith says, where there is no way, there I can make a way. And she did it. She started to move. My, I'm sure there was a lot of opinion and a lot of protest, but she moved and moved and came close, and I have to figure this out. She came close, I don't know how close, but very close. And then she must have been at the end of everything, and she was on her knees, and she was at the end of everything. And then, where there is no way, faith finds a way. She saw Jesus pass by, and between two or three legs, she reached out and touched his clothes. Now, she didn't say, I don't feel anything. It wasn't 2007. She didn't say, if I touch his clothes and feel electrified, then, no. She said, if I may just touch his clothes, I shall be. And she reached out and got hold of his clothes just for a moment. Let it go. And she got up. She didn't feel anything yet. No, no. The Bible is explicit about that. She didn't. But there was a smile on her face. She said to herself, I got it. And she got up and moved away. And the Bible says, and then she felt in her body, that's after 12 years going down the drain, she suddenly was healed. My goodness, some people say, why do you get so excited? Well, I tell you, there is a reason to get excited when you get healed. You say, well, if you've got so great faith, why do you get so excited? Well, it's because your body registers that it happened, and you suddenly move. And jump. Oh, she could have jumped a hole in the sky. But she didn't because of the nature of her complaint. And so she just... And then something happened that was not on her program. Jesus stopped. And the crowd stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? One of the disciples answered, guess who? Must have been Peter. He was always number one, right or wrong, but one. So he said, what a stupid remark. The whole crowd is pushing you from one side to another. You say, who touched me? There is a short version of it in the King James, but that's comprised together, put together, you know. And he said, who touched me? And I said, The crowd is pushing it. He said, no, 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 no. Somebody touched me in a different way. Somebody touched me by faith. My friend, you're in touch with Christ this morning, whether you realize it or not. But your next door neighbor sitting there may walk out and say, wow. And you walk and say, never noticed anything. You know, I've been here a few times. I don't know anything. What's the difference, my friend? You're in the same service. The difference is faith. She touched him with faith, and virtue, power went out of him and healed her. Now she was scared stiff because, you know, Jesus kept looking around saying, who touched me? Well, then the other disciples said, all right, who touched him? Come on, who did it? You know. She thought, oh, if she had known the right doctrine, she would have prayed for the rapture. Because there was no way out. What can you do? So she thought, ooh, I never asked. I never prayed. I never said, if it be your will, if you feel led, nothing. I just got it. She didn't have all the intelligence we have nowadays. And, you know, she just got it. And she got scared. She started to tremble, to shake. Not because of the power of God. No, the Bible says fear. Gripped her. She thought, oh my. I never. And then she decided, you know, if there's no way out, never do a stupid thing if it ever happens in your life. If there's no way out, don't do stupid things. Some people do. Finish their life suddenly. Don't do it. It's not the answer. There was no way out, and she was scared. Oh, yes. But she suddenly made the right move. She went to Jesus, knelt down before him, and told him the whole truth. It's a safe address to tell him, my friend. You can talk it over with Jesus. She told him the whole truth, and she was sitting there waiting for doom and damnation, probably. That's what she feared. And she told him the whole truth, and she was shaking. And then Jesus said something. He said, daughter. And she looked up, and she thought, that sounds all right. And she looked into the shining face of Jesus. At last, there was somebody Jesus saw, at any rate, one in a crowd who knew and reached out and had it. You know, if you get in touch with Jesus, do you know you get related to him? Daughter. I tell you what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm in a tremendous anointing these days. My miracle ministry is really extending all the time. You know, I have to explain, it was not in America. Anyway. This is my last appointment in the States, probably, but. But he said, daughter. He didn't even say that he made her whole. Of course he did. He did. But he didn't want to focus on that. He didn't want to say that he healed her. He wanted the people to hear how she got it. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Do you know why he stopped her? He was going to give her more. He was going to give her peace of God. Wow, go with the peace of God in your soul. You know, I know some people who've been marvelously healed. I could tell you long stories about it. Amazing, amazing miracles. But I know some of them who are not following Jesus Christ. You say, how in the world? Yeah, it happens. It happens. Oh, they'll lose their healing. No, God is a lot better than Christians. Take that home. Think about it. We have to improve. Let me tell you, my friend, God is so good. He heals the sick. That's what Jesus did, whether they followed him or not, but he just healed the sick. God shines with his light on people, whether they want him or not, whether they're nice or not so nice, whether they're good or evil, he just shines on them and says, I love you. I love you. Whether you want me or not, but I love you. That's my God. That's what he's like. You know, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Go with the peace of God. You know, friend, with all you're getting, get Christ. Get the peace of God in your soul. Ah, it's wonderful when you're healed in your body. Sure, I know. It's wonderful. I get excited, yes. But my friend, don't miss the greatest thing God can give you, and that is peace in your soul today. You know, well, I've never been to this church before. No, well, I'm just a visitor. Hi, so am I. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus knocks on the door of your heart. If you just open the door and you say, it's a mess inside, he knows already. If you want him to save your soul today, he's here. Now, if there's anyone and you say, sir, I'm not talking about divine healing now. If you were here and you say, sir, I want the Lord to really come into my life. I want him to save my soul. I'm a bit religious, but I'm not saved. I want to be saved. If you're here, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to pray now to God, wherever you are in this meeting. I'm going to pray that God will save your soul. If you're here and you say, sir, pray for that for me. I want Jesus to become my Savior. If that's you, my friend, raise your hand. Show me your hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Show me your hand, and I'll acknowledge it. I see your hand, sir. Is there anybody else? I see your hand over there, all right. Is there anybody else? Show me your hand. I see your hand. Is there anybody? Anybody else? Don't miss it now. I'm going to pray to God that God is going to give you peace with God. I see you both there. I see you at the back there. I see you there, sir. Yes. Is there anyone else? Don't miss it now. It's my final appeal. I see you, lady. I see you at the back there, sir. Anyone else? I see you. Sorry. I look against the light, but you're in. Let me ask you something. It's my final appeal. If there's one more I missed out, please show me your hand now. I see your hand, lady. I see your hand there too. Anyone else? I'm going to ask all the people that raised their hand, would you help me? I promised to pray. Yes, I've seen your hand. That's right. I've seen you. Thank you. Would you help me? If you're sitting, would you please, if you raised your hand, would you stand? I'm going to pray for you now. Just get up. That's right. Just do it. Let me explain the behavior of these people. You say, why are they clapping? Well, I tell you, they know life is full of decisions, as you well know. But this is the big one. This is the one that really means business with God. Would you be so kind? Would you be so kind to come to the front, stand here, face the platform? Would you do it now? Just come. Just come and stand with me. That's right, lady. Just come here. Just come here. That's good. Just stand here, sir. That's right, just stand here, sir. So good you came. So good you came. All right, glad to see you. I mean that. So glad. People from upstairs, are they coming? All right, they promised me. All right. So good that you make this journey. God bless you. So good. I trust that we've got them all now. All right. Let me tell you, I'm going to help you. I've never met you before, as far as I know. As far as I know. We may never meet again. I don't know. But let me talk to you. I believe you're standing here because of my Lord. He planned this. He made me come all the way for you. I believe that. I believe that. I know he does that. I'm privileged to help you to really come to Christ. And let's make real business with God today. All right? I'm going to pray a prayer. Would you please, in a moment, close your eyes and would you repeat that prayer after me? Not because my prayers are so special. I'm just helping you. You understand? And say it with your voice and your mouth, but also with your heart. Because God looks upon not the outside. He looks on the inside. You understand? All right. All right. Would you close your eyes and let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. Say it.
Lord Jesus, I come to you.
I open my heart to you.
I open my heart.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you died.
You paid for my sins.
You paid for my sins.
You came to save my soul.
You came to save my soul.
Lord, I open my heart.
Lord, I open my heart.
This is the day. I open my heart for you.
I open my heart for you.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Cleanse my soul.
Cleanse my soul.
Give me everlasting life.
Give me everlasting life.
And peace with God.
I
receive you now.
I receive you now.
As my Savior and Lord.
As my Savior and Lord.
Help me to follow you. All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome these people into the kingdom of God. Just stand here for a moment, sir. So good you came. I can't talk a great deal with all the people, but I really mean it. You did well. Good that you came, sir. Very well. This is the day, sir. The 2nd of December, your day. All right, sir. I know something is happening to you. I know. You've been waiting for this. This is the day, sir. Hallelujah. So good you came. You came together. Life will be better. God bless you. God bless you, my son. God bless you, Kim. So good, Stephanie, that you came. Elizabeth, this is a day to remember. It's your day, your day. You're not too young, not too old, not too far. It's here today. All right, sir, it's good you did it. It's a good decision you made. Jerry, let me say, God loves you. His eye has been on you for quite some time. This is a day. You came from far. But you did it. God bless you. All right. You take it over from here.
Yeah. Now here's what I'd like to do. Scott, would you and Cindy do me a favor, please? This is not the Lamb's Book of Life, but I want to make sure I have everybody's name. So would you take them? We're going to take them in their prayer room. Would you guys do that for me and make sure we have everybody's name so and a way to get in touch with you? So I'll send you a letter and find out what you need. We'll get, if you need a Bible, whatever you need. So would you guys do that and take this for me, please? And I want to say this to you. Some of you have been prayed for before. Hans and I were discussing this morning. When does a person give their heart to the Lord? It doesn't matter if it happened before or if it happened today. What matters is that it's real now. Amen? Let's give them a hand as they go. Yeah, good. That's great. Well, he said the second service is better, so I might want to stick around. No, I'm just kidding. We were just discussing this last night and today that about how people come to the Lord, and sometimes it's a lightning bolt, and sometimes it's the sun coming up over the horizon and the discovery, you know. Sometimes it's process, not event, and we need to make room for both. I so appreciate your patience and you being here with us this morning. If you're with us for the first time, we have a little gift we'd like to give you. As you depart on your way out, you'll see signs in the ceiling that say hospitality room. It's right around the corner here to the left. If you would allow us to do that, we would deeply appreciate it. I'm going to pray for us and dismiss us and let the next group in, okay? Father, thank you for your goodness to us today. Lord, we celebrated your life at this table, and then you gave your life away to a whole bunch of people today. We want to say you're wonderful, and we appreciate, God, how much you care for those whom you've created. And we want to pray for those who are in the prayer room right now. Lord, I pray this is their day and that they would understand what's happened to them and they would embrace the touch of God on their life. Lord, would you seal the deal with them today? Close doors for them and open doors to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for being able to be witnesses to what you're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you next time.